This is Radio Boston. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. The most powerful political figure in Massachusetts, the once de facto governor of Massachusetts, and to her supporters, a tax cut tigress, or to her opponents, a tax cut terrorist. That's how people are remembering Barbara Anderson, former head of Citizens for Limited Taxation. Anderson died on Friday of leukemia at the age of 73. But back in 1980, she was the political force of nature that helped pass Prop 2.5, the ballot question that capped property taxes in Massachusetts at 2.5% of fair market value. And in 1986, she helped pass Question 3, which put a cap on tax receipts. And in 2000, she helped pass Question 4, which rolled back the state income tax rate to 5%. Barbara Anderson never stopped advocating for taxpayers or ribbing the government for that matter, such as just last August on WRKO when Anderson shared her disdain for progressive taxation.
Or as we like to say, the harder you work, the more they steal from you.
Well, we're going to take a look at Barbara Anderson's legacy today, beginning with her longtime partner of 20 years, Chip Ford. We spoke with him a little earlier today.
Her whole life was dedicated to serving the taxpayers without a government check. She spent her entire life around the clock, 7 days a week, fighting for tax limitation and individual freedom. And, well, that is what she's remembered for. I think she always will be.
Yeah. I mean, and she did it with such great effectiveness, right? I mean, really changed taxes and how the state can tax people in the state over the course of many decades. I'm wondering, you know, what is it that drew her to that kind of advocacy to begin with?
Well, she always told me what worked for her is that she didn't know it couldn't be done. She started out as a volunteer for CLT, collecting signatures, and in 1980, with Proposition 2.5, the director at the time left the job for another job, and she got plugged in as executive director and had no idea what she was doing. She had to learn on the fly, and by the end of the campaign, she knew she was the expert on Proposition 2.5.
Mm-hmm.
And she just kept going. She just kept going. She found out that one person can have an effect. One person can rescue the taxpayers, and she just moved on and kept moving.
Yeah. You know, I've read that she wrote about how she felt from a really young age the sacredness of the individual, and that that was one of the things that really drove her.
I guess I was reading Ayn Rand when
right.
she was in college, and she couldn't believe that somebody else thought like she did. She was always an individualist. That got her into more trouble than anything growing up with the nuns in the Catholic school she attended. So it was in her by nature to be an individualist, libertarian in philosophy, I'd say, and wanted less government and the taxpayers to keep more in their pockets.
Yeah. You know, I was reading her last column that she wrote for the Salem News and Lawrence Eagle Tribune, and it's so full of her intelligence and her humor and her wit. I mean, she wrote about how if, despite my living will and various plans to control my dying, I end up hanging around, then I curse the government for the last time, though certainly not the only time.
Yeah, one of her previous columns, she mentioned something about when the voters voted down the death with dignity ballot question was 51-49.
Mm-hmm.
It was the first time the voters made a mistake.
Yeah, I mean, that just got me thinking. I mean, so many people are remembering her with such great fondness for all the reasons that you just talked about, including the fact that she was able to she enjoyed life. She was able to find humor in a lot of things. She was able to connect to almost everyone she ever met. So, I mean, take us back. When you first met her, what was the first thing that struck you about her?
When I was first going out with her, so many people would come to me and take me aside and say, how can you handle such a strong-willed woman? And she was always easygoing, happy-go-lucky. I mean, optimism just flowed out of her. Never mind half full. The glass was full. Everybody was good. Everybody meant well. And that's just the way she went through life.
You know, several people have called her the most powerful woman in Massachusetts who never actually held elected office. So, I mean, there's going to be a lot of different views of the impact that she had on the state as we remember her over the coming days and weeks. But I just wonder if I might ask you a final question about you personally. What are you going to miss most about Barbara?
There's so many little things that are starting. I haven't had the time really to absorb that she's not really here anymore. Since she passed away Friday, the phone hasn't stopped ringing off the hook, emails. I mean, it's just been overwhelming. But little things are coming up. Every Sunday morning at 8:25, I'd wake her up and tell her, get up, Keller's on. This was the first Sunday morning in, God, a decade that I haven't woken her up to tell her Keller's on. Little things like that are starting to seep into me, realizing she's not here.
Yeah. Well, Chip Ford was Barbara Anderson's partner for 20 years. Mr. Ford, thank you so much for joining us today.
Okay, well, thanks for remembering Barbara.
You know, another thing that Mr. Ford told us when we spoke with him earlier today is that Barbara Anderson always had a great relationship with every reporter she ever talked to. And you can hear that in some tape from 2011 when she was on WRKO with Garrett Quinn. And they were talking about the fact that the rollback of the state income tax to 5%, which still hasn't fully happened yet. And they moved on to this conversation when they said that lawmakers were instituting what was called temporary income tax increases to delay rolling back that rate to 5%. And here's what she said.
We figure at the rate they're going now at 0.05 a year, they will finally get back down to our traditional 5% in 2057. So it will be a 68-year temporary tax increase, which I hope is a lesson to everybody who ever trusts the government about anything.
My God, I'll be in my 90s.
Barbara, what?
I'll be dead, Garrett. It's a no. Conscious blessing.
I'll be collecting Social Security. It'll be there for me. I've been told the trust fund will last.
That's Barbara Anderson on WRKO in 2011. Well, let's talk to someone who served in state government. Joe Malone, he's former Massachusetts state treasurer. He served in that position from 1991 to 1999, and he joins us now in the studio. Mr. Malone, welcome to Radio Boston.
Thank you very much, Magda. Good to be here.
It's great to have you. So, first of all, I was looking at an interview that Barbara Anderson did with The Globe back in 1981, the year after Prop 2.5 passed, and she said, in 5 years, everyone's going to admit that this was the best thing that ever happened to Massachusetts.
Well, you know, what people forget is that Massachusetts was at a crossroads because the economy was very soft and lots of companies were saying, we love Massachusetts for a lot of reasons, but it's Taxachusetts. And unless something changes, we're going to be heading for the exit, so to speak. And Barbara Anderson had a unique, as Chip Ford mentioned, and my thoughts and prayers go out to Chip and Barbara's family, but Barbara had a unique personality in being the leader of this anti-tax movement. You know, in most states, it's sort of the guy with the suit and tie on who's coming out of the business community. She was referred to as that housewife from Marblehead. You
never
know?
Underestimate the power of a housewife.
Absolutely, absolutely. So, and she knew her facts. I saw her in rooms. I first met her in 1982, and she would be at this weekly meeting, and among the folks in the meeting were business people, other advocates for, you know, less government, and she was the only woman in the room, but she was the rock star in the room. There was nobody who even came close, and nobody who knew the facts better. She really had a command of the facts on anything fiscal in the state.
Well, so, I mean, in a way, her legacy is in the numbers, because Massachusetts is no longer Taxachusetts. We're middle of the road when it comes to overall state and local taxes, as far as I can tell. So she was very successful on that front. But give me a sense as to, I mean, you were state treasurer there. I mean, did things like Prop 2.5, which is very important on the local level, but did it tie people's hands later on in ways that they wished that it hadn't?
Well, Barbara used to say, you have to turn off the spigot, because if you keep that spigot on, those in government, those up on Beacon Hill, will find a way to spend it. And most of the time, in fact, I think she said, and all of the time, they will spend it not as well as the individual could spend it on their own. And so it was this libertarian bent that she had, this passion for more freedom and less government, that led her to influence lots and lots of people. And she had a leadership quality about her that, you know, everywhere in politics, every organization, there seems to be someone who wants to take someone else's job. And in Barbara's case, she was the undisputed leader of CLT. She was, I think, oftentimes the reluctant public figure. You know, she grew very comfortable and was very articulate. But I remember in being in meetings when they'd say, Barbara, you ought to run for governor. And she'd say, no, I'm happy doing what I'm doing. Because she did like to be able to, you know, get her points across, but then step off the stage.
Yeah. I wonder if, I mean, ironically, was she too good, too effective at advocating for individual Massachusetts taxpayers? Because now we're in a place where, you know, it was just a couple years ago that voters rolled back the gas, or they didn't want to increase the gas tax. And now there's maybe a fight coming down the pike in a couple years about, should there be a millionaire's tax in Massachusetts? I mean, the voices of individual taxpayers have been heard and are being heard loud and clear. Does that hamper the state in any way?
No. In fact, she would be the first one to say you have to find that balance where you're going to have a prosperous economy and at the same time pay the bills of government. Now, I know in the 8 years that I was in government, you found so many places where there was room for innovation, there was room for efficiencies that government somehow develops a blind spot for. So again, when you keep that spigot fairly tight, they then have to go find more creative ways of getting the job done. And I think most people would say right now, Massachusetts, relative to the other states throughout the nation, is in a pretty strong position. But again, if you lose your economic base, if you lose that goose that lays the golden eggs, the business community, there aren't jobs, there aren't revenues, and that's what she was all about.
Well, Joe Malone is the former Massachusetts state treasurer. He held that post from 1991 to 1999. He's currently a business development consultant with Malone and Malone, joining us in the studio today to help us.
An honor to be here to pay homage to a great, great lady.
Barbara Anderson, who died on Friday. Mr. Malone, thanks so very much. Thanks.